Don't allow the enemy to, has anybody been fought a little bit going on in your mind with possibly indifference and, I don't know how to really put it, but we've entered into a new season. And in this new season, the enemy tries to frustrate us because he realizes that he can't stop your life from becoming reckless. He cannot stop it. So all he can do then is try to frustrate us. Because what happens is, if we do get frustrated, you have to stay focused. Everybody say focus. Don't get caught up in minor battles. Keep your eyes on the major battle, what it is you're believing God to do. And just say, you know what? You know, I want my miracle too much. And just keep your eyes focused on what God has promised you and the direction that you're going. And don't allow minor frustrations to come in and pull you off course, because we're in that season. Last year, we was really dealt with by the, by an onslaught of the kingdom of darkness forces that tried to wipe many of us out. But in the name of Jesus, we just determined and we pressed through that thing. Everybody say hallelujah. We pressed through it and your life pressed through. And I believe God has brought us into a year of fulfillment. I believe this is a great year for things to be fulfilled in our life. But immediately when that happens, there becomes a smoke screen. Because what the enemy tries to do is get us lost in the smoke and unable to get through to the promised land or promised area that God's promised us. Man, don't get caught up in the smoke. Just keep looking at your compass and keep walking in the right direction. Amen. And allow the Holy Spirit to do that in you. And I believe that this is the year that many, many of you, you're going to walk in to your inheritance. Things that God's promised you, things that Jesus died to give you, things that he's told you for years is to come to pass. If you'll just hold on, this year will move into a much miraculous, much greater miraculous flow than we had possibly any of us had anticipated. Because God will not disappoint us. But what we must do, we must stay focused. Don't get caught up in the smoke screen. Don't let the enemy get you mad at your hairdresser. You know, don't let whatever's going on. Just don't get caught up in that. Say, man, where I'm going just isn't too important for that. Where I'm going is just too important for that. Where I'm going just too important for that. Because see, if he can get you caught up in the small skirmishes, you can lose the battle. So what you want to do is just stay focused, man. Don't let religion hold you down. Trust God. Everybody say, trust God. Trust God for something miraculous. I tell you what, not only do you, Ricky, and all the rest of us need to see something miraculous, but we're in a generation where this generation needs to see something miraculous. And what the enemy tried to come in and do, the enemy tried to come in and rob the miraculous from the church. I'm talking about God miraculously helping you, God miraculously healing you, God miraculously delivering you, God miraculously strengthening you, wherever it is that God has put into your heart. And so this generation desperately needs to see the miraculous of God. And the enemy has almost moved that out of the church. Do you realize that the major thing that Jesus did, we only usually camp around the preaching. But the most major thing, consistent thing that Jesus did was work miracles. Work miracles consistently and constantly in and around the preaching of the word. So what we cannot allow the devil, see the Bible says during this last day, there's going to be this form that's going to deny power. Amen. How many needs God's power? Need the power of, amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a celebration. You need the power of the Lord to come through and miraculously do something. So you hold on. Everybody say, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to watch the Lord. Now, that's why we're dealing in this series. There's one certain thing. There's a few things I need to say today. And to do that, I'm going to start back into the series that we're talking about. But at any moment, we may just lay that down. I want to jump to what God is wanting to say here today. All right. Especially, I believe, to some people. So I want to make sure that gets in. So, but we're talking about the war chest, and what that is, that's Lord teaching us, God teaching us to handle the enemy. Or the Lord teaching us how the power of God is released in our lives, in our families, and through our lives to bring about miraculous change. So we're not talking about a war chest. I'm not talking about just what you would call a treasure chest. I'm talking about what God is able to put in your life that you become such a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Because every time the ugly devil sticks up his head, Jesus is able to put his foot right on top of that head and able to squish him and able to bring deliverance. Amen? So we're talking about, now we're talking about pulling out of that treasure chest the trust of God. How I can trust God more. Everybody say, how I can trust God more? The greatest thing that any of us could ever learn is to trust God more. To trust God wherever the issue is, life is. Wherever the enemy is advancing his kingdom against me. Whatever the devil is trying to do, God wants to bring heaven into that. God wants to bring the power of heaven into the situations that you and I face. Because what that is, see, that's the kingdom of God being established. A lot of times we think God's in control of everything. No, he's in charge, but he's not in control. God becomes in control when God and I working together, my faith in his power, my faith in his power. And then God can control situations. But now God is the master, so he's in charge of everything. But what we want God to do, because see, you have to realize there's some things that's happening in this planet that's not in the will of God. It's not the will of God for those that would die of this day of cancer. That's not the will of God. It's not in the will of God for those children across this world that will starve to death today. It's not in the will of God that ISIS would break into homes and kill whole families. That's not in the will of God. It was not in the will of God what Hitler did during World War II. See, those things are not in the will of God. So you can't just pull aside and say, well, what God wants will happen. No, it won't happen. The Lord has put us here as his agents. We now have become the hands of Jesus. And we've now become to be the heart of Jesus. That's why it's just so important that God allows, that we allow the deliverance of God to take place in our life so we can begin to be compassionate like Jesus, begin to be loving like Jesus, begin to be caring like Jesus, so we can partner with his power. See, it's up to you and I to believe God, but it's up to God to do that which only he can do. But what happens is the power that is reserved in heaven for us. In each of our lives, there's a power that's being reserved in heaven to take care of every situation, every circumstance. Whatever the devil's trying to do to plant his kingdom, if it's in that is involving you, there's enough power in heaven. If I can begin to cooperate with God and believe God and trust God, then the power that's reserved in heaven will come on earth. And that piece of ground right there will no longer be the devil's ground. That piece of ground right there will become God's ground for the glory of God. Amen. See, the promised land was full of giants. But before God could move there and take over those ungodly things, he had to find somebody first that would believe him. Somebody that would trust him. Somebody that would believe. God, this is not too hard for you. Hallelujah. And the Lord has to have somebody to stand in whatever that rotten situation you may be standing in. God's got to have somebody that despite whatever you're facing, that you will be the one that will stand and say, I will believe God. See, Jesus could only do miracles where people believed him. He could really only heal people where people believed him. That's why when he went back to his hometown, the Bible said not many mighty miracles was he able to do, because people did not believe him. So you've got to be that one that stands up in your situation, that stands up in your circumstances, and said, if everybody in my family gives up, I will be the one that won't give up. If everybody else gives up on my marriage, I'll be the one that will not give up. The doctors may give me up. My family may give me up. But God's not giving me up. And I'm going to be the one to stand and believe. And you've got to be that willing to be that one that will believe. Nobody likes to be that one. Nobody likes to be that one that's had to believe God against obstacles and situations all alone. Man, it's a lonely place where if you're in that marriage and she gives up on it and you say, I'm not going to give up on it, that's a lonely place. It's a lonely place for you to be on a job where everybody just let it literally go to hell. And you say, I'm this company. God did not send me into this company or send me on this job for this job to be taken over by heathens. God sent me into this company, or God sent me onto this job so I could be the one to believe God for the Lord to do a miracle. And it's a lonely place. But you know what? Jesus will stand with you. Jesus himself will stand with you. I don't know how many times each one of us face those issues. Each one of us. Because the devil is determined that the ground you live on, the ground you live out of, the devil is determined that's going to be his. Not so, honey. We've determined this is going to be God's. Amen. So you make that stand and you become the believing party. Now there's certain things you must do. If you're going to be the one to believe God to miraculously intervene into that situation, the first thing you got to do, you got to get your eyes, spiritual eyes open. If not, the devil will always buffalo you. He will always convince you to look at what you see instead of what you believe. Honey, I tell you, it would really help most Christians if we would just walk around with our eyes closed. You understand? So the first thing I've got to do, I've got to say, Lord, open my eyes so that I can begin to see you. I must see you, Lord. Get my eyes open. Now, Joe, thank you so much. You're not going to be able to follow me at all. I tell you, you can. Because I made sure I put it right at the very end. Go down to slide 100. Because I'm not going to get there unless I go there. I just feel like some things, and then just hold it there. Then I'm going to talk about those things in just a moment. But the first thing we got to do is get our eyes open. The second thing we got to do, we've got to get our mind submitted to the mind of the Lord. Because I'll be honest with you, as long as you allow the thoughts of the devil in your mind, you're never going to win your battle. It's a stronghold. And so what the devil has done in all of our minds is the devil has come in and told us lies, and people have bought into those lies. Like, you can't believe God. This is too hard for you. You can't trust God. You'll never get out of that situation. You'll never get out of that addiction. I was with a young man up until the night, just the other night. And he said, Jerry, he said, I've had a drug addiction. He said, I've been shooting up for 12 years. So for the first seven years, he said, I was happy. I thought I had it under control. He said, but these last 5 years, the habit has had me. $250 a day. Habit that this young man. I looked at him, Alan, I said, I'm not going to let you die. I said that. Because see, somebody has got to be willing to believe God if things are going to change. Now, that young man was one of the nicest young men, but he'd given up on himself. He had given up. He allowed the enemy. In fact, this is what he said. He said, my drug, I called it my friend. Said, now my friend's trying to kill me. I said, let me tell you, buddy, that drug is not your friend. That thing's trying to take the very life out of you. And I'm not going to let you die. I said, I'm going to be by here. I'm going to come here at night. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let this thing. I'm not going to let this thing carry you out. I'm not going to let it take you down. Everybody needs somebody to stand up in every situation and say, I will believe God for the difference here. Amen. Amen. So we got to get our mind renewed. Got to take that word. That's why it's so important for that word of the Lord. Any thought that you allow in your mind that is not a thought of Jesus will torment you, harass you, and try to take your miracle away. Amen. You've got to become a person that's determined, I wasn't made for trash, I was made for truth. And I'm only going to allow the truth. I'm only going to allow in here the truth of God. I'm going to tell you what, we've all allowed a lot of lies in our past. We've allowed a lot of lies into our mind. But somewhere, the truth has got to begin to push out those lies. There's got to be a turnaround. There's got to be a point somewhere where you just determine, I'm not going to allow myself to think those thoughts anymore. I'm going to, if it doesn't come from Jesus, I'm not going to allow it to be in my mind. And then you need to stop and ask yourself, God, what is your thoughts on my situation that I'm facing? Lord, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts about me? What are your thoughts? Well, immediately, because the devil has built such strongholds in people's minds, immediately, there you go, well, and then your mind says, well, you know, you must think it's her fault. Or you must think it's their fault, God. Or you must think it's my fault. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to think the thought of God, the God knows it's the devil's fault, and he's going to help you to erase all of that judging and all of that condemning and even that self-condemnation away from you, and you're going to rise up and say, I will not tolerate the devil's lies in my life anymore. Amen. 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 So you have to be willing to do that, man. It's a battle. It's a battle. I've been in the middle of the night struggling with thoughts that I knew wasn't God. I tell you what, if you're able to have the thoughts of God without a struggle, I'm going to have to go to God and talk to it, because I wasn't able to get it without that. It took a struggle. It took it pulling down strongholds. It takes the resisting of what the devil is trying to tell you. And the problem is, because the devil has told us these things, some of us, since we was 4 years old, and we've learned to grow up and hold and pet our little lie and hold on to our little lie so much, then the enemy thinks he's got that freeway built into our mind. But what you got to do, you got to stand up. No more lies. Only truth is going to go in. Somewhere the battle will turn. It may take you a month. It may take you a week. It may take you 4 days. It may take you 10 years. But somewhere, if you begin to fight back the devil's lies over your life, over your family, and over your sister, somewhere the battle will turn. If you'll keep fighting, Jesus will keep fighting beside you. And somewhere that battle will turn. Amen. And when the battle begins to turn, things begin to get much better. I can remember how horrible it was to fight every thought I had. Every thought. I'm going to tell you what, that's where we all start though. Fighting every thought. And what we find out is not one good thought that's not contaminated by the enemy. Amen. So you've just got to begin to determine, I'm willing to fight those thoughts. If you won't win that battle in your head, God's not going to be able to win that battle for you. If you're not willing to stand that battle of if you're not willing to cast that thing down, if you're not willing to resist those thought patterns of the enemy, if you're not willing to allow your life to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that is the miraculous of God. The miraculous of God first starts with God changing my mind, causing me to think godly, causing me to think right, helping me to take that word and to push the lie out of my life. Can you say amen? The third place we've got to move if we're going to watch the Lord move miraculously. We've got to pull down renegade emotions. You've got to be willing to come to a place to surrender renegade emotions. Emotions that doesn't line up and doesn't contribute to the character, the nature of God. They're renegade. They're of the devil. They're no emotions. And some people are so built and so emotionally tied in to renegade emotions that every once in a while a good emotion will begin to break through in their life, and they don't even know how to deal with a good one because you've been so tied in to the old bad ones. But what you've got to understand, how do you know if it's a renegade emotion? If it's not full of love and joy and peace, listen, honey, God is the kind of emotion that even in the midst of the hardest storm, God is able to give you a peace. In the midst of whatever you're going through, if you haven't got the peace, that's because there's a renegade emotion that's trying to run in your life. You've got to determine, I am going to wrestle this emotional thing that God has put within my life. What happens is this. The enemy starts at young ages, and he puts these renegade emotions that will destroy you, emotions that will destroy your family, emotions that will hinder you from ever being happy. Some of you, even if God worked that miracle for you, you will still be sad about it because you're so tied into that sad emotion, or you're so tied into that depressed emotion. You've got to determine, in the name of Jesus, I will not stop until I tangle with these emotions, and I will not allow those renegade emotions to rule my life anymore. Amen. See, the place prior to that was in the process of thinking. But see, the truth of the matter is, most of us don't operate from our thoughts. They do, that is the source of them. But most people operate from the area of their emotions, which is tied into their thoughts, which we need to study that one day. But in the process of their emotions, what that means is, every time God tries to do something, it's so important. It is so important to allow the Holy Spirit's emotions to be in you. It is so important. There are times as God is working your miracle and bringing your miracle to pass, there are times it will be important for you to rejoice more than at other times. It will be important at certain times for you to be able to have the joy of the Lord than it's more important than at other times. Because of this, all of those emotions are from God. They release such powerful power. Just the same as your negative emotions release such power of the enemy. That's why the word of the Lord, the thing God told us more than any other thing, Alan, was to do not fear. Because he knew that one renegade emotion of fear, it could keep you from your miracle from ever coming to pass. And we've got to come to a place where we say, you know what? I may feel afraid, but I'm not going to allow myself to be afraid. I'm not going to allow myself to go there. There'll be a times where we say, you know what? I'd feel much better if I just felt sorry for myself. I will not allow that. I will not tolerate those luxury things in my life. I'm believing God for my miracle. And when you do that, then the characters and natures begin to change drastically inside of us. Everybody say love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. When God's character, when God's emotions are released inside of us, they release God's power. When the devil's emotions are released inside of us, it releases the devil's power that's standing against you. You've just got to see, most of us, let me tell you, I know, honey, most of us are so tied up by the enemy that we can't get to where God wants us to get to be able to receive our miracles. But if we will realize, devil, you may have had me hooked so in the past, but you're not going to have me hooked now. This old dog can learn new tricks. I don't care what emotional things may have been released in me in the past, and I may have been an angraholic, I may have been a sadaholic, I may have been a feel badaholic, or whatever it was, but in the name of Jesus, that will not rule me anymore. I'm going to believe your word with my mind, and I'm going to rejoice with my God in my emotions. Because in the hardest of situations, I can rejoice. In the biggest of the storms, I can have peace. When somebody comes to me and immediately they're telling me about a storm in their life or telling me about, and they don't have peace, I know they have not been listening to God over that. I know that. And really, I'll be honest with you, when we pray together over that, there's a big possibility that that thing will not happen. Because it takes an agreement for God's miracles to happen in our life. Not only does it take somebody praying for you, it takes you being the person that's going to believe God and resist the devil and allow God to come forth through your life. So everybody say, renegade emotions. Man, quit being sad. Some people just lack the attention. Some people like the attention that anger brings. Some people like the attention that sadness brings. Some people like the attention that feel sorry for me brings. See, some people are like, listen, honey, you're settling with something from the devil when God wants to give you a miracle and make your life worth living. God wants to bring you over on this other side and really help you. Make a war against renegade emotions and say, I will not tolerate them. I will not allow them to rule my life anymore for the glory of God. Whew. Hallelujah. Yeah. And right there, God can help you do that. God can help you do that. God can help you do that. I love the power of God in our life. That's why it's so important to always have the strength of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, grace is not only that forgives me. Grace is that which helps me. And when you're in a weakness, if you're in an emotional merry-go-round that seemingly is there, is put there by the enemy just to keep you from ever being what God called you to be. There has to become a place somewhere that you say, devil, I just won't tolerate this anymore. I'm going to fight whatever I have to fight to destroy this in my life. I'm going to do... See, if you can't bring the peace of God in between these two shoulders, how are you ever going to get the peace of God to stop a storm? You understand? You've got to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit... Now you know when you go to pray about your needs and God pulls a chair up beside you and he says, I know, man, this is just so bad. I don't know what I'm going to do about it either. That's not the feeling of God, is it? See, that's why when God came back to Adam and Eve after they had sinned, he said, who told you this lie? I hid myself, God, because I was greatly afraid. God immediately knew that emotion of fear had been released from a lie that had come into their life. That's why the next word he looked at him, he said, who told you this? Who told you this? This didn't come from me. It's not my word. It's not my word that will cause you to be fearful. It's not me speaking into your life. It will cause you to be depressed. It's not me speaking into your life. It will cause you to be downcast. I tell you what, I just appreciate especially all the formative years with the Lord. But something, Roger, I constantly noticed was at times when I had royally messed up. And I have royally messed up many times in my life. And I will go to God desperately knowing that not only did I need God's forgiveness, but I desperately needed God's help. And I would approach God from the sense, I would approach Him from the sense of like a beaten down dog trying to wiggle back up at the feet of his master. But God never received me that way. And immediately God would always let me know, Jerry, you didn't surprise me. I got this. I got this. I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. So I learned some years ago to quit trying to make God sad and quit trying to make God feel sorry for me. We all had to learn, if I'll trust God, God will stand with me. Amen. Hallelujah. If I'll trust God. So once then we tangle, then the next area that we've got to do, and this is what we're closing with. We've got to bring our mouth. Because really and truly, until your mouth becomes controlled by the Holy Spirit, God can't bring your miracle. Because out of your mouth will be the voice of God. Now, it may not stand and speak and say, thus saith the Lord. But it'll be something like this. I know God told me that sickness will not kill me. I know God told me that we will overcome this. I know God told me that I can trust Him. Something powerful has to come out your mouth. Now, the problem is this. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is abundantly in your heart? Now, all of us have been around people that tried to control this, and they had no control here. That's why it doesn't start here. Although here's got to be lined up. This has got, the mouth has got to begin to speak what God speaks. Because what is in our heart will come out. And you ask somebody, I say, well, you know, the other day I spoke something positive. What do you speak abundantly? That's what's going to win. What is abundantly flowing out of you? If you speak one word positive with 100 words of what the devil said, you think that one word from God is going to do with all those words the devil's saying that you're believing in there? You've got to begin to capture your heart. You've got to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to put abundance of His truth in here. Abundance of believing in here. So out of our mouth will come an abundance of what God has said. What that means is, we've got to get our mind renewed. We've got to get those renegade emotions down, because they're going to try to speak through you all the time. And they'll let you, in a church service, you may walk in and say, somebody said, how are you doing? And you walk up to them and say, I'm blessed and highly favored. And then you walk out of here on Monday, and your buddy asks, how are you doing? You hear what I'm telling you? What are you speaking abundantly? What are you speaking out abundantly? That's what's going to happen in your life. Our words must be, we must allow our words to be infected by that we believe in our heart. And we've got to begin to stop. Because as long as you're speaking what the devil is saying about you, about God, about your family, about your finances, about your health, as long as you're speaking what the devil is saying about them, I want you to know the devil's what's producing out of that. And the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So, but until our mouth abundantly, not what you're saying when Pastor Jerry would call you and say, what you believing for? And you say, oh, I'm believing God for great things. And then you hang up that phone and you turn around to your wife and begin to yell at her, what are you doing, you lousy wife? You're on this battle. Honey, that won't do a thing. What's coming out of you in abundance is what's going to be produced in our lives. Amen. So we've got to get control. Everybody say words of hope. You've got to get words of hope. You've got to allow God's promises inside of us to build in us such a hope. Powerful hope. Now, what the English language has done with the word hope is not even to be talked about. Man, it's changed into a wish. So what people say when they say, I hope this gets better, it's turned into, why I wish things would get better. That's not the biblical form of hope. The biblical, let me tell you what the biblical power of hope is. If you've got God's word in you, you've got great hope. Hope is the ability to look at something what it is today and to draw a picture of what God has promised you is going to be tomorrow. And you live with the anticipated thoughts and the anticipated emotions of that hope, what hope is drawn. Hope is not a might or a maybe. A hope is, get out of the way, devil. You're not going to stop God from working this miracle out for me for the glory of God. We've got to allow hope. Hope is never on a guess. It's never on a might. It's never on a maybe. If you're using it that way, you first need to allow that word to be crucified for you. Allow it to go through the cross. Because what Jesus' view of hope is when you stand looking at things that are so bad that you begin to put a big smile upon your face and somebody comes to you and they tap you on the shoulder and they say, don't you see all that mess? And you say, no, honey, I can't see that mess. I see a masterpiece that God has promised me for the glory of God. Amen. And until your mouth starts speaking hope, then words of faith have to come out. Because if I live in hope, if I live in God's assured promise what He's going to do, God will begin to speak to me and say, hey, today I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, out of your mouth then will become great faith. And somebody will say, hey, don't you see how bad things are? Bad things are. Don't you realize what God's told me? Don't you realize what the Word of God has promised me? Don't you realize what the Word of God has said is going to happen? My family's not going to hell, devil. You can't help my health. You can't help my marriage. You can't take hope and joy out of my life. Because God is speaking His truth into me. If you live in anticipated hope, the Holy Spirit will begin to come to you. And one of these mornings, during your prayer time possibly, or on your commute or wherever it is, the Holy Spirit will say, I want you to rise up in faith. I want you to tell that storm to be still, to be quiet. And the Bible says, and immediately, the wind ceased and the storm stopped because the word of faith had been spoken. So we got to have the word of hope. We got to have the word of faith. We got to come out of here in abundance. Then let me close with this. There's several words that we really need to, but this is the one I really felt. We got to let the word of authority come out of us. Somebody's got to take charge. Either you're going to do it or nobody's going to do it. Your mama can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. Your pastor can't do it. Your Sunday school teacher can't do it. That person that loves God that works beside you can't do it. But you can do it. God allowed you to be in that situation, and God has given you the authority in that situation. But God has given to us the absolute promise. If I will allow God's hope to be in me, man, just quit letting the devil paint bad pictures for you. Quit letting the devil paint bad pictures for you. So what? You got one overdue bill in the mail. What has God said to you? Are you going to let that one overdue bill change your whole future? Are you going to look at it and say, this is not what God's told me. This is not what God's promised me. God's promised me that He's bringing me into an abundance for the glory of God. And you're going to quit letting Him be able to tick you off. So what? Let Him get over in the corner and be mad. Let Him be over and pout.
Yes, yes.
Let Him be a big baby if that's what He wants to be. Let Him be angry and flab His hands around and declare what He's going to do. And you just stand over there with a big smile on your face. And you say, I know what God's told me. Big boy, you've been to come down. Amen. And one of these moments, as you stand in hope, don't let any bad futures be drawn for you. Don't let that. You know, people come to me and say, oh, I'm just afraid. They're going to be killing that car wreck. Get that stuff out of your mind. Don't let those pictures, those are devil pictures. You understand that? Don't you let those pictures be painted for you. I prayed she's going to marry somebody else. Don't you let the devil paint those pictures for you. You paint beautiful pictures every time the devil tries to show you. Every time he tries to give you a shack, build a mansion, honey. Build a mansion. Build a mansion. And if you will believe God, and then one, as you do that, you stand in faith, hearing God. The Bible says the angels in heaven hearken unto the voice of His word. Let me tell you what. God in heaven is speaking His word. You must hear it. You must speak it. Unless you speak it, the angels stand idle. Do you understand that? Unless you speak it in faith, God's angels stand idle. It says they're standing there waiting to hearken to the voice of the Lord. Now, they're not standing there waiting for the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is what comes to you. The word of the Lord is what comes out of that Bible. The word of the Lord is what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. That word has to be given it a voice. And when you will stand up in that authority and just begin to declare, you lousy devil, no more are you going to rob from me. No more are you going to steal from me. No more are you going to take from me. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says, whatsoever you will bind on earth, God said, I'll stand with you and bind it behind you. Bible says, whatever you loose on earth, Jesus said, I'll stand with you. I'll loose it from heaven. So many times we're waiting to see before we believe, and God never intended it to be that way, and it will not happen in your life. If you're going to see God do some wonderful, powerful things, you're going to have to believe Him when it doesn't look like it. But if you will believe Him when things look bad, if you will put your eyes on the promise of God instead of on the circumstances you see, and if you will allow, I tell you something, Roger, there's something that happens to you. Don, there's just something that happens to you, isn't it? Well, I've watched you do that so many times. Donald McCray is one of the most meek, mannered, tender men I've ever met. But I'm going to tell you what, I've seen him stand up in authority. Honey, you better be out of his way when he does. This meek, mild-mannered man becomes a roaring lion for the glory of God. And that's what happens. As you stand in hope and as you stand in faith, something will begin to stir up inside you. and something will begin to want to come out of you. And all of a sudden, the very little man that they thought, or the woman that they thought had no power, will stand up in great power. And honey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Somebody says, well, where are you going to declare that to? I tell you, the major, there's two that it's majorly has to be declared to. Number one is God, because God's just waiting to stand with you and back up whatever you said. But number two, the devil melts under it. The devil hath no power. The Bible says, if you will submit to God, by what? Having hope, having faith, you'll submit to God. And if you will resist the devil, stand up in authority. There's three hand signals that we need this year. If I was on the basketball, I need Stephen here, Gracie. If I was on the basketball court, I'd teach you three hand signals. The first hand signal you need this year, you need to surrender it to the Lord. Never needs to be a day in your life that you don't say, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I'm surrendering to you, God. I'm surrendering to you. I'm surrendering to you. Another hand signal you need, Lord, every day of my life, I need to receive from you. Lord, I can't stand in this faith, I can't stand in this hope unless I get grace from you. I tell you, there's something about when you extend toward the Lord and say, God, I receive your grace. There's something that pours into a weak backbone that makes that backbone become like hardened concrete. Something happens supernaturally as a person stands in the presence of God and receives from the God. The third hand signal that we need to get is this right here. And that is the hand signal of no. In fact, I've got in my computer, one of the pictures I love to look at is this little old bitty woman standing there, what would guess would be a hard situation, but she has that little hand raised and has N-O written on it. I'm going to tell you what, you need to start telling the devil no, that he can't have your family, that he can't have your life. This is the year, especially, now this is anytime true as we stand in faith of God, but especially this year, this is the year as you will stand against the devil, he's going to back up, honey. He's going to back up and he's going to leave that thing that he's tried to hold, and that doesn't belong to him. You don't belong to him. That marriage doesn't belong to him. Your situation doesn't belong to him. Your health doesn't belong to him. And what you need to do is just stand and say, devil, no! You can't have me. You can't have my life. You can't have my family. You can't have my circumstances. You can't have my health. You can't have my life that God's promised me. You can't have it, devil. No, in Jesus' name. And that's standing in God's authority. Let's close. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you for the presence of the Lord. And we thank you for your preciousness, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the power of your grace. Now, you can agree with me in this message, but if we do nothing with it, it will not avail nothing in our life. Amen. We've got to begin to change this. Change this. We've got to begin to change it. Then I've got to begin to change this. That emotional stir inside of me. I've got to begin to change it. You'll never be able to stand in faith with bawling and squalling, and I used to say slinging snot. You will never be able to stand in faith unless your emotions become tuned underneath the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is, you need to begin to declare out your mouth the promises of the Lord. If some of you here need some of that, I want you to take those little hands. I want you to raise them up in the receiving manner before the Lord. I want you to say this with me. Say, Father, I don't know how to get there, but I trust you that you can get me there. I'm tired of the devil lying to me about my future. Lord, I believe I can trust your plans that you have for me. I can trust you, God. And so, Father, by faith right now, I receive that you're putting inside me the strength of God to pursue that transformed mind, that I will not allow my mind to be any longer tangled up with the thoughts of the devil. But in the name of Jesus, I will not stop, Lord, until these thoughts of the devil are driven from my mind, and I replace it with the very truth of God. And then, Lord, do something in my emotions. Lord, give me the strength of spirit to be able to temper these emotions, that these emotions will no longer rule me. These renegade emotions, I bring them to you, God. I bring them to the very presence of God. And I ask you, Lord, that you would cause them to bow in your very presence, God. That I would no longer be a man that emotions rob, or a woman that emotions rob from me the very thing that God has for me. Now, Lord, do a work in my mouth. Lord, do a work in my mouth. Lord, cause my mouth to speak hope. Help me, Lord. Strengthen my mouth. Lord, strengthen me to shut my mouth. Strengthen me to open my mouth. Lord, strengthen me to hold my mouth. Lord, strengthen me to speak out of my mouth. Strengthen me, O God, to speak authority, Lord, for the glory of God. And then, Lord, I believe with all of my heart that you're going to bring the change, the miracle change, into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we close, I'm going to give a time for an altar here. Because there's some here today that truly, that your mind has been so tampered with by the enemy to where I want the opportunity. The Bible says what we preach about, there's an anointing to do that. If you feel like your mind has been tampered with by the enemy and it's been twisted to think in a way that's tried to keep God's best from you, I want an opportunity. I'm going to take a moment. I want to just lay hands on you. And I want to join with you, believe in God, for that stronghold to be broken. If you're here today and you say, emotions has got me, Pastor. There's an emotional thing inside me that tries to control my destiny. I need help. Well, what the enemy does, once a groove is cut, even in our minds or inside of us with our emotions, the enemy tries to empower that. He tries to really take advantage and take control of that. But I tell you what, one will put 1,000 and two will put 10,000 to flight. Amen? And then some of you, or if someone's here this morning, says, Pastor, it's my mouth, man. My mouth, I've prayed for people, that they said, my mouth is completely out of control. But in the name of Jesus, God is still the controller. What I'm saying, if you need help in any one of these areas, I want you to slip up here very quickly as others go out this morning. And I'm going to take this moment, I'm going to pray with you. Because I believe that what's preached about the anointing of God is in that service to bring it to pass. To bring it to pass. In Jesus' name.